This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we're live here now on both Instagram and Pet Life Radio. Here for you, here for your pets. You know the drill. 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. That'll get you to me. And anyway, had a great week. On Thursday night was the Vanderpump Gala. And it was fun. It was really fun. And hey, Steph, how are you? So, you know, you got to get dude it out. It's a black tie. So, I don't know. You'll go, thank you. And then as if that wasn't enough. And today is the big birthday. I'm afraid I'd say 71 years young. I'm keeping at that. So anyway, kind of insane when I think about it, but it is what it is. So anyway, hope everybody had a good week, and I certainly did. Getting ready, you know, it quiets down a little bit. Interestingly, you think that people are not going to work, especially here in LA, where you have the Hollywood whole system here with as far as what's open, what's not open, the studios, the shows, the filming, and it almost comes to a for about a month. And everything is so quiet. So you'd think, well, you know, all these people would come in with their pets. No, they don't. So it usually slows down a little bit, but that's okay. And then come winter, it really slows down a lot as well, which is a good thing because in January, I booked. I got two conferences. I have a vacation. I have kind of a little mini vacation in there as well. So it's going to be kind of insane in January. So I know, right? Exactly. If you can reach this birthday, that's something worth celebrating. I know, but you think, many of us I know are older. And when you think as kids, and you think that somebody was in their 70s, you just had an image in your mind. Oh my God, that's old. And it's changed. It's not the same now. So, Ini, how you doing? So, fortunately, it's not the same. JB, I hope all is good. So Nima, how you doing? Great meeting you. So Nima also was at the gala, and it's very nice. And yeah, happy birthday again, which is okay. So anyway, any interesting cases, anything during the week? You know, it's interesting. This happened a lot. I had an emergency that they took to emergency facility. I really, really thank you, Julie. Thank you. I really do want to mention the name because it's just so annoying to me. But let's just put it this way. It's one of the three big corporate practices, okay? They're parts interchangeable when it comes to this. So they took her dog in, and it was just ADR. And she told them we just had blood work done on Friday, and it came back perfect. And the dog started acting weird. So again, they were so intent on repeating everything, and they quoted her. This blows my mind, guys. $1,200 just for the blood test. Really? I mean, that is nuts. Oh, am I frozen? I hope not. So anyway, it was really surprising to me. And I said, well, did you tell them that we just had a blood test and it was fine? Things aren't going to change in one day. Even if there was something that happened, it was going to, before it's reflected on your blood test, it's going to, so don't do it. So I'm sure the emergency doctor was pretty upset. Also very young. And I said, look, this, I don't know what's going on, but with the perfect blood test, unless she got a hold of something where, so it's a gastrointestinal thing, she did vomit. She may have vomited and aspirated. So I said, there are some things we can do at home, but don't start. I don't mind. I don't mind if they start doing some testing on things that are new. If they wanted to do an ultrasound or an X-ray, I would say, you know, look, that might be appropriate. But to repeat a blood test and to say, well, we can't do the other things until we do a blood test because we may have to give some sedation. I mean, no. So anyway, I am a bit surprised. And I really, I'm, I, I hate to promote, well, I don't really hate to, I kind of like to promote it, but I don't want to promote AirVet only because it's, you know, it was something that we, my son and I co-created, but to just have access to that veterinarian 24/7 before making a decision to what needs to be done, or do we even need to go to an emergency, when you could do a real live interaction with the veterinarian and you can answer questions asked by the veterinarian to help determine, is this really what needs to be done? That's going to be a huge game changer. So that's what I would recommend. And let's see, another interesting case this week, a surgery with the spleen that came back benign. I don't know if you remember last week, we had a splenic mass on both ends of the spleen, on the head and the tail of the spleen. And the dog was bleeding into the gut, tons and tons of blood clots. What that tells me, and this is so interesting, that when you have a small splenic bleed, depending on the nature of the beast, of the nature of the tumor, a lot of times if it's small, and they were small, they will bleed. And then, of course, when something bleeds, the body will clot, the blood will clot, and then it'll stop bleeding. And the body regenerates its blood cells that were lost in the bleed. And you can have this dog be normal again for weeks at a time. And then it'll bleed in another spot, or that it'll reopen. So that's what happened. So in fact, with my colleague, who did the ultrasound, and he's an internal medicine specialist, he's amazing with ultrasound, he even said that when you see a lot of clots, that usually means that this is A, chronic, because blood doesn't clot right away, and that chances are it's not going to be as aggressive, because if it's an aggressive mass that starts to bleed, it's going to bleed, and they'll unfortunately bleed out. So unless you catch it soon and you have an opportunity to see the white gums and the weakening dog, and you bring him in and we take a look, the gums are pale, we do put an ultrasound probe, we see a lot of free floating fluid as opposed to clots, and we stick a needle in, see its blood, that's an instant exploratory surgery. And those you can save depending on the extent of the blood loss, et cetera. Sometimes they'll need a transfusion. So, but it is when that test comes back benign, that's really cool. That's really cool. Because then you know that your surgery saved a life. So yeast, the gut powders, flora, et cetera, work just when we get good. Seems yesterday licking in here. So, you know, the yes and no. I would not rely on these things, probiotics, solely if your dog is having bad yeast infection, but it definitely can help. And if it's very localized, for example, ears, you can always try some topical medication first, okay? And otherwise, if that works, great. If not, sometimes we want to go to a oral medication, whether it's ketoconazole or fluconazole. Bathing works well with an antifungal, antibacterial shampoo. And often, when there's yeast infection, there is often secondary bacterial infection as well. In the ears, interestingly, there's that balance between yeast, normal yeast, and normal bacteria, and they kind of keep each other in check. When that balance is disrupted, then they usually yeast wins out. And that's why the discharge in a yeast infection is usually that very black, greasy stuff. Whereas if it's a bacterial, like Proteus or Pseudomonas, it's going to be more of a lighter, brownish, yellowish color and really gooey. So, but either way, it should be treated and there are things that work. But so does the gut powders, probiotics, et cetera, work? I would say I would 100% do it. I think it should be part of the treatment, but I wouldn't rely on that solely. I think you need to treat it topically as well and directly. All right, Kelly, how you doing? Do you have music? Hello, hello. And let's see, MP, just joined. Ivy Blue Eyes, hello. Okay. All right, what else? Oh, so other things that are coming up, let's talk about it. I came from KTLA this morning doing on the news. They had me come in whenever they have an animal story, and this was more for the holidays. So as the first light of Hanukkah is tonight, so there may be a lot of, you know, menorahs and candles being lit, just and presents being given to the kids, the eight nights, lucky kids. So that you want to be careful with the all of this when it comes and coming up in, you know, in a week and a half, we have Christmas coming. So there are some moves, things that need to be done to help keep your pets safe. All right. Some certain practices that are will potentially save you a lot of headache, maybe even save a life, but that may be being too dramatic. But so, and that is, first of all, when it comes to decorations, for regardless of the holiday, you want to make sure that everything is safe for the pets. And one of the things that I see, and you know, I hear stories, tinsel, those little ornaments. Oh, hold on, one of my cats wants to say hello. He got into my little studio here. This is Ninja. Ninja is my 14-year-old amazing cat, very social. And he's just, I don't know if you heard the meowing, as soon as he came in and saw me right away. And the problem is, if I put him down, he's going to want right back up. So he is such a super, super guy. He was a stray outdoor cat. He approached us, actually my daughter. This is going back 12, 13 years ago. And this beautiful black cat comes up to her and starts rubbing her. You know, for sure this cat belonged to somebody. So she, you know, kind of petted it. She figured it's, you know, an outdoor cat for somebody in the neighborhood and leave it alone. Anyway, about, a week and a half later, she's outside again. And who shows up? The same black cat. So this time, the quintessential mistake, she brings some food. Well, he chowed that food. Here he is 14, 13 years later. He's still chowing that food like crazy. And so we took him to the office, scanned for microchip, nada. Started putting notices up in the neighborhood, nada, no response. He was getting along with other cats and the dogs. And we said, well, hey, he is so sweet. So we kept him. Now, he would still try at every opportunity he could to get out. Any open window, open door, boom, a beeline. Now, after many, many years, that front door can be wide open. He'll walk up to it, take a look right and left outside. Nah, I got it right here. I'm going back inside. And he does, and he's really a sweet cat. Okay, off you go, kiddo. You'll see it won't work. He's going to be jumping back on my lap in no time. So thank you. I love being here every Sunday. So anyway, so with the holidays, Watch things that can cause a problem. Number one, any exposed cords. Dogs, cats, even bunnies love to chew on cords. If you're going to have something that plugs in, the lights on the tree, the decorations in for Hanukkah, whatever it is, make sure you either cover up the cords very well or get lights that run on either 12-volt transformer or batteries, because that's only like 9 to 12 volts instead of 120 volts. And then things like tinsel, cats love when they see things that are draped or any kind of yarn things around the tree, all those decorations, you got to be careful because a lot of cats love that stuff and it's potentially a problem. If you have dogs that love to chase a ball, and I have my Labrador, for example, you hang those balls on the Christmas tree. To them, that's heaven. They think, oh my God, the tennis balls are all these cool colors now, and they're all over. That's great. I'm going to jump up and eat them. So again, they're glass, they're hard plastic, whatever it is, certainly, certainly not good for a dog. So again, be careful. As far as foods, greasy, fatty foods are not good for our dogs. And also the problem is, even if it was okay in moderation, what do dogs know about moderation? No way. They're going to eat the whole plate. So people say, you know, chocolate chip cookies. I would save those for me. But again, it could be a problem. So we want to make sure that you think ahead of time. And if you're planning on having a party, if you're planning on having guests, family, make sure that your animals are safely put away somewhere or that they're okay with all these people, which is great. I don't have to put my animals away. They're fantastic. But I got to watch the food. I mean, anything that is in reach, especially with my lab, It is, forget about it. It's gone. So, and how many times do you have guests over and you got the little dog comes up and they put their head on the lap and they have those sad eyes and they give it, they're looking around, you know, they take some off their plate and give it to the dog. But the problem is that the next person is doing that too. And the next person, before you know it, they're eating too much of the wrong thing. So again, these are simple things. They really are. So keep them safe. Keep them well identified Yeah, that's very important. No, so first of all, thank you, that Sharon. I'm always available. Even when I'm not here, I'm available. Most of you have my cell, and you know I've been that crazy concierge kind of guy, available 24/7, one way or the other. So it'll be. Trust me, easy to get along. I always say, if I don't answer, if I'm at a trade show, if I'm at a session, I may not be able to answer, but certainly leave me a message, leave me a text, and I will get back to you. And hopefully think positively and nothing will happen. Anyway, we're going to break for a quick minute here on Pet Life Radio. So don't go away here on Instagram. I will stay here while we break with Pet Life, and I'm going to mute Pet Life. And Mark, take it away.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, back here live on Pet Life Radio. As well, we're talking about kennel cough. We start on the break. And so, you know, apparently some areas are seeing like an uptick in kennel cough. And again, I don't like the term kennel cough. It is just an upper respiratory infectious tracheal bronchitis. And there are many, many dogs that are getting this and have never been to a kennel because it's everywhere. So I do like giving the Bordetella. One thing about the Bordetella vaccine you should know, and that is it's given once a year. A lot of these facilities are recommending it more than once a year, like twice a year. The truth of the matter is it's the best vaccine we have, but it's not a great vaccine. So oh my God, my poor cat is going so crazy. He wants to be up here. So it's something that if you really want protection, you need to do it probably every 4 months, but that's a little bit impractical. So that's why most groomers and boarding and daycare facilities require it every 6 months. They're not wrong to get better protection. Now, we have another vaccine. That's the influenza, H3N8, H3N2. Those are the two strains that we're seeing. And it's part of that respiratory infectious disease complex. So canine infectious, CIRDC, infectious respiratory disease complex. There are all these other bugs. There's mycoplasma, right? That's a possibility. There's the parainfluenza. When you get a distemper shot, it's DA2PP, two Ps, parainfluenza and parvo. So you're getting that regularly. But it is a problem when these animals are not getting the necessary protection. So I advise that at least do it once a year. I do my dogs only once a year. Why? Because I have a pack of 5. I would add very obnoxious. They are great with their own pack. I walk them in the neighborhood. If they see another dog or cat, they go, at least 2 of them for sure, go bonkers. I don't take them to the dog parks anymore because they just don't behave nicely. There was one dog park, if I can take 2 or 3 of them, they're fine. So I only do it once a year. But you're not wrong to do it more often than that. So that's my recommendation. So, and then the question, are we sure it's kennel cough? So if you have a persistent cough that does not respond, now for kennel cough, the real true kennel cough, I'll use doxycycline or Clavamox. If there's no response, or the cough is very moist and wet and what we call productive, then I would at least take a chest x-ray, see what's going on, see what the trachea is like, because it's a trachea. Sometimes they'll get this coughing because of tracheal collapse, because of a dorsal tracheal membrane, okay, that is sitting down in the trachea itself, narrowing the trachea. So that could be the problem also. So it's not always true infectious tracheal bronchitis where the antibiotic should help. So if there is a kennel cough or a cough, you got me saying it now, if there is a cough that is persistent, has not responded, then you need more of a workup. And to start, simply would be x-rays. Now, do you need more than that? You may. And then what I would send you to a specialist, and they would do some sort of bronchoscopy, a tracheostomy, I say scopy. So they're put a tube. It's a scope that goes, endoscope that goes down into the trachea. They look at the trachea. They take some samples of the trachea tissue. They see if there's a redundant dorsal trachea membrane. And then they go down into the lungs and they do the same thing through the bronchi, the airways. So that might be necessary. I will tell you, in my many, many years, we've had to resort to that maybe 3 or 4 times, really. I mean, way less than once a year. I mean, way less. But, you know, again, now there are some ways you can get samples of the sputum and have it cultured. Okay. There's something back in my day, a transtracheal aspirate, which can be done. But now that is falling. So it's become a backdoor technique. The primary technique now, the one that people are going for, if needed, is going to be getting brushes from the tissue itself via a scope. The problem there is most GPs, myself included, we don't have the equipment to do that. So it has to be referred to a specialist. And most of the specialty hospitals are corporate owned, and need I say more? So you're looking at a very, very expensive proposition. So, you know, leave it up to you. And another thing that can be doing this coughing, if a dog vomits or has regurg, and because of, reflux disease, a gastric reflux disease, irritates they inhale it, goes up the esophagus, they breathe it in, it irritates the trachea. So we have a tracheal irritation that also could be the source of this coughing, this hacking. So I understand there are so many different things that could be going on, but most of the time, we're talking about ITB, infectious tracheal bronchitis, and should respond. So keep that in mind. All right. Next, any other questions? If we had any come in. Oh, lots of waves. Hello, hello. Best product to clean ears, currently using Virbac Epiotic. Epiotic is fine. It's fine. It's, and you want anything that, first of all, loosens up the debris and it's good for the ear, and it has what's in it. I like it because now HB Land LLC. If that request is accidental, then let me know. I won't accept it. If it's real, then I will accept it. Okay. So anyway, that is something to keep in mind. Epiotic is a good cleaner. There are a lot of good cleaners out there. You want to look for things that have an anti-inflammatory, possibly antibacterial. Usually it's chlorhexidine or benzoyl peroxide, or you can use something with that is also antifungal. You're going to see either, the biggest one, triketoconazole, and also fluconazole. So if you get those, that should be. And also, when you are putting the stuff in the ear, you want to massage it, okay? And you want it to work. So don't like rinse it out, start clean out right away. Let it sit there for a little bit, you know, a couple of minutes, and start working. Massage the ear really well. Now, just know, when you're massaging the ear, you might want your veterinarian to show you how to do it the first time. The tendency there is there's a lot of skin there. And what they do is they grab the skin and massage it. No, you got to get your thumb way back behind the ear, and you'll feel that cartilaginous tube. That is the vertical ear canal. That's what you want to massage. That's where you want to get to the have the liquid get down to the bottom and really work that debris. Then what I have people do usually is the dog is naturally going to want to shake. But if he doesn't shake, what you can do is lift the ear up and give a good blow in the ear. and then back off right away. It's going to start shaking and that crud is going to get all over the place. So that's also a little trick. Then also you have to learn how to use a cotton swab. And people say, no, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. First of all, you want to loosen the stuff up. Well, let them shake their hair. A lot of that stuff will come out. The problem is if you just use your finger on some gauze or something or cotton, you won't get to where it needs to go. You need to get in there. So as a general rule of thumb, depending on the dog, if it's a small breed, I would hold the thumb and index finger, okay, right about an inch from the tip of the cotton swab. So the cotton swab is about a quarter of an inch of cotton. So you want to sew the tip for there. And that way, when you put it in the ear, your fingers, your thumb and index finger will stop it from going any deeper. For a big dog, you can go about an inch and a half. I've often shown my clients when I do it in the exam room, big dogs, I can go 2.5 inches. It really depends on the dog, but I don't want you doing that. I want you just to use it to help get some of the debris away. Then you put more liquid in and massage it again. More stuff will come up. Usually the stuff will come up. Speaking of come up, Ninja back on my lap. And this is such a great cat. He can do this all day long. He can be on my lap. I'm inside. I'm watching a game. And speaking of games, I'm getting to go to the Rams game today. Rams against the Lions, it's going to be a really good game. So anyway, so I would have somebody show you really the right way to clean an ear first. And once you have it down, you know how to use everything. You know how to use the cleaner. You know how to use swabs, whatever you're going to use. And then you can start doing it. So that's good. Am I seeing more than usual the Malibu vet is saying, yes, of keratin. I think that it's just a lifestyle. Here's another thing that happens, especially with influenza vaccine, is that when we don't see a lot of a condition, people get right away when it first hits the news, they go in, they get their vaccines, et cetera. Then as there seems to be a lull, they stop using it. That's when, same with parvo. When we have these upticks in parvo, it's because people are getting lax on their vaccines. And that is a problem. So it's very important to make sure that you stay up on the vaccines, even though if you live in an area where these diseases happen, we call them core vaccines. Now, do I give my patients Lyme disease vaccines? No. Rattlesnake vaccines, just for the heck of it? No. Now, if I ask someone, I always do, does your dog do any hiking? Like in Runyon Canyon or in the mountains, the canyons. If the answer is yes, I'm gonna recommend those vaccines, at least a rattlesnake. If your dog is traveling back east for the summer, I'm gonna recommend getting a Lyme disease vaccine. So it all depends on lifestyle for many of the diseases, but the core vaccines for me, distemper, parvo, rabies by law. I mean, the truth is, a dog is more likely to get a respiratory infection here in LA than rabies. Your classic standard dog. But unfortunately, it's required by law and we have to do it. I'm not a big fan, and cats especially, it's not required by law. And here in California, I don't like giving rabies vaccines to indoor-only cats. For this guy right here, indoor-only, I don't give leukemia. I don't give rabies. All I do is the 3-year FERCP PNE. Why? Because that's the only disease that he can be exposed to. I'm not inviting rabid animals into my house. And I'm not inviting leukemia-positive cats into my house. So what am I worried about my cats for? So I don't do it. And because, as we've talked about before, I worry about the feline vaccine-induced sarcoma, that cancer, a tumor coming from a vaccine. Why would I subject a cat to that, even if it's a remote chance, which it is pretty remote, but still, they don't need it at all. Now, if I have an outdoor cat, that's why I vaccinate cats only in the thighs, the hind thighs. Why? If they should be one of those unlucky cats that gets this disease, then I can have their leg, I can amputate their leg to save their life. Who wants to do that, right? So, but that's the only choice we have if they get this feline vaccine-induced sarcoma. So I like to look at each vaccine individually, see what the animal needs, what's it potentially exposed to, and then go from there. All right. Katie Graves, hello. Right. Question is, would you recommend neuter over vastectomy for echinocorsum? Oh, boy. You know, here's the thing. There are two issues here. There's the breeding issue, and there's the behavior issue. So You know, obviously, testicles that remain in, even though they have a vasectomy, are still at risk of testicular cancer at some point. The hormones from the testicles, the estrogen, I mean, the testosterone, that does affect behavior. So if you have a dog that's pretty aggressive, especially with other male dogs, especially when there's a female in heat around, that is very testosterone driven. And in Cane Corso, that's one big potentially mean dog. So if you, the only reason to not neuter is if you want to breed. But if you're not going to breed because you're going to do a vasectomy, then I personally would recommend just doing the full neuter. Again, you can get other opinions. I would worry about some behavior issues. I would worry about roaming issues. There was a statistic I saw a number of years ago that the 75% of dogs that are found dead on U.S. roads and highways are non-neutered males. Now, remember, a dog that is vasectomized is still a non-neutered. So if they get that sense, that heat, and they pick up that scent, and they will, and they try to make a beeline out of the backyard, big Cane Corso, break through a fence, whatever the case may be, those are the dogs that are getting hit by cars. So I'd have to have a really, really good reason. All right, why not? The only reason I can say, and the only breed where there is some evidence of dogs having less cancer in dogs that are intact versus those that are neutered, and that's the Golden Retriever. I have not seen any studies on any other breed. In fact, they looked at the same parameters in other retrievers, and it didn't pan out. But in Golden Retrievers, they say that there are some cancers that we see in greater numbers in dogs that are neutered. So it's some one of those things you got to talk to your vet and come up with a solution for you. But that's the way it is. All right, my tuxedo cat regurgitates after eating several times a week. You notice usually she has the zoomies that run jump. So again, that might be just to be running around. Try to keep them quiet and. Keep her quiet and see if the same thing happens. And also, if the cats that do a lot of licking themselves and they might have hairballs that are trying to get through down into the stomach, okay, and that puts some pressure. And so when the esophagus has a bunch of hair in it and stuff can't come out, it can't get into the stomach, because if it's delayed, then they can regurgitate. Regurgitate meaning they'll eat and run around, and then stuff gets right out of the esophagus, but they don't really, they don't go to the upchucking first. They just open the mouth and there it is. Well, that means for them to regurgitate, true regurgitation by definition, that ingesta never made it into the stomach at all. It's stuck in the esophagus. So hairballs is one of the possibilities there. Otherwise, some work can be done, scoping, again, seeing a specialist, and determine why this cat is regurgitating. But the fact that it's usually after the zoomies, I'm just wondering if that's slowing things down. Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad Teddy's doing fine. You know, it's funny. When I woke up this morning, the first thing I did was check my phone to see if if anything was going on, and I didn't hear from you. So I thought that, well, that's either a really bad sign or it's a good sign. And you're on my list. I unfortunately had to go straight to KTLA, and now I'm here doing this show. So I will give you a holler. I'm just curious to know how Teddy's doing. All right. I don't know about the most honest man, but I do appreciate that. All right. So, all right. Other than that, I hope everyone has a great day. And I will see you all next week. And same bat time, same bat channel here. And please, during the week, you can send me questions during the week, because I will keep them. And when you get shy or not enough questions are coming in, I love to talk dogs and cats. So even other animals. If it's another animal, then I would appreciate it getting a heads up. Because I have some good friends that are happy Hanukkah to you as well as everybody else. Deb, happy Hanukkah. So it would be better for me, because that way, if it's something I don't have the answer right away, I'll be prepared. I can talk to some of my friends that do some of these exotics and get an answer for you, then we can talk about it. So I don't want to give you the wrong advice, and I'm going to probably tell you, let me check you on that. So if you ask me in advance, that would be great. All right. So thank you all. Love that you're here. If you have friends that would like to join me, just tell them to follow me, Werbs_DVM, and they can ask away. If I can help them save, with Teddy, I can't imagine what it would have cost you to stay at the emergency only to end up everything being okay. So anyway, I'm glad I could be of help, and that's why I'm here. All right. I hope I'll have a good day. Not too thrilled about being 71, but at least 71. What's the alternative? So this is better than the alternative. All right. See y'all next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.